When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm sorry, but there's no way Mark Menzies MP is worth £5,000. I'd have taken him back for £25 in book tokens and not a penny more. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and this is Non-Censored. Hello and welcome to Non-Censored, the podcast that wraps up all the best bits from my very real daily radio show into one easy-to-digest highlights package. I'm joined as ever by my producer, Martin. And what a show we have for you this week, eh, Martin?
Oh, yes, indeed. We spoke to former Home Secretary Suella Braverman about her recent trip to Brussels. Former Prime Minister Liz Truss stopped by again to discuss the smoking ban, and Ishan Akbar had a hot and spicy takeaway about Islamophobia.
But as ever, there was so much in the daily radio show we didn't have time to include here. For example, we had a long and detailed, some would say too detailed, look at the Cass Review, where all the contributors respected each other's beliefs and worked together to find a solution that worked for all parties. But we don't have time for that.
Yes, and we also didn't have time for our piece on the latest news on the ground in Gaza, where we brought together both Palestinian and Israeli viewpoints, and all the contributors respected each other's beliefs and work together to find a solution that worked for all parties. But we don't have time for that either.
Instead, we'll start with the smoking ban. And who better than Liz Truss to explain why something is both a bad idea and also very unpopular? Let's take a listen. Liz Truss, what a treat. We had you last week talking about your book, and now we have you again. Wonderful.
Hello, it's always a pleasure, never a chore with you, Harriet. It's just, I've been so busy promoting my book and I was delighted to spend a little bit of time with you today.
Thank you very much. And do tell us quickly, how is the book tour going? I mean, we're seeing you all over the screens. You've been talking to America.
Well, my close personal friends, I like to think of them now,
yes.
The Americans. And, you know, every opportunity, I'm there holding up my book or holding down my book or holding it whichever way seems right at the time. It's going great.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I haven't read it yet, Liz. I haven't. But I'm looking forward to at some point, sometime in the future. And I've given it to Martin to read, haven't I, Martin?
Oh, I certainly have a copy. Yes, it's in the vicinity, and I'm sure it will get read in some way in the near future. Just out of interest, how's it all going? Is it selling well? Should we expect a little Sunday Times bestseller?
I don't really take much stock in the idea of bestsellers. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the mainstream, the broadsheets are all deep state operated. So I'd rather the people at home make their own minds up.
Very, very wise.
Yeah.
Now, Liz, the reason why we wanted to get you on again this week is because you have not been afraid to be critical of the Tory party at the moment.
No.
And it's had quite a week, so it'd be great to get your take on some of the happenings this week. Now, firstly, what do you make of this smoking ban?
Well, Harriet, you know, it's just the typical finger-wagging, nannying state, which, I mean, I think I speak for most of Britain when I say that we don't need the government to tell people how to be living their lives. You know, what's next? Telling people to eat less nice food or eat less red meat? No, more red meat, more sugar. People can do what they want or should be able to.
Exactly. It's about free speech. I mean, look, I know you probably don't want to speak ill of the current Prime Minister, but do you think it's because he's not very fun, so he wants to take away other people's fun?
Yeah, I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. Just because he doesn't know how to have a good time, how to eat a, you know, well, how to smoke a cigarette and let loose. You know, some of us know how to let loose. I'm very loose and proud of it.
Are you a smoker, Liz? Have you ever do you ever partake in the herb, or indeed the brown puff, as I think they call it sometimes, the the tobacco?
You know, producer Martin, I know what you're getting at. I think the wackier end of the scale I leave to the liberal left wing dinner parties. But I, you know, yeah, I've smoked a cigarette and I don't smoke them at the moment. But that doesn't mean that my children shouldn't be able to if they want to.
Mm. Right. So cigarettes for kids, that's what we're going for. Well, let them decide.
Let people make up their own minds.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, without the intervention, constant intervention from the Labour Party, the Liberal Democrats, and now the Conservative Party as well. I mean, it's madness.
Yes, they've got to stop. We won't save the West that way.
Yeah. If people want cancer, they should be allowed to have that.
Oh, producer Martin, what a silly thing to say.
No, I mean, it's just choice, isn't it? It's like, I mean, it looks cool. James Dean did it, but is it good for the NHS? Probably not. But I can see your point. Out of interest, do you have a favourite brand?
Marlboro Lights, if you're going to push me. And if they're open to sponsorship, yes, I am listening. So,
well, there we go. I'm sure they listen to this show. They all do. You heard it here, folks. Liz Truss is ready to help you.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like if you cast your minds back, we're before our time, but when people, you know, were forced to put on seatbelts in every single journey, it's the same thing. It's just control from the state. And actually, if I do a short drive, if someone does a short drive and they don't want to wear their seatbelt, so be it. You know, we're adults.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that, Liz. Are there any other, you know, fuddy-duddy rules that you'd like to see rolled back? Perhaps running with scissors, you know, largely discouraged in schools, but could be quite fun, I suppose, if you wanted to.
Well, again, it's down to freedom of choice. And if I want to run with a pair of scissors, I will. You know, in fact, maybe I'll do that right after we finish recording. I've got a pair of scissors to hand. So why not? Why the hell not?
Okay, what?
Liz Truss.
One more. Sorry, Harry. I know you do have a real interview to give here. Just one more that has been on my mind. What about going for a swim after a large meal?
Yeah. Again, it's just the nannying state trying to stop people doing that. No, if you want to go for a swim after eating some red meat and a lot of sugar and smoking a cigarette, go for it. And the same with if you want to dive, you know, dive bomb into the pool, why not? Heavy petting? Yes, please.
I'd like to personally bring back drink driving.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. This is sort of escalated a little bit, hasn't it?
Anyway, Liz, I want to move on to another sort of thing that's been going on this week. That is MP Mark Menzies.
Now, a lovely man.
All over the news. He's been suspended over alleged misuse of campaign funds. Mm. And a particularly bizarre story about how he'd kind of been detained in someone's flat, and he rang up an elderly Tory campaigner and said, I need £5,000. I need it now. What do you make of all of this?
Yeah, well, you know, Mark and I have a long history, and actually what you might not know, Harriet, is that I played my own part in that story. You know, there were negotiations. I helped him with the negotiations and managed to raise that sum to £6,500. So...
Right, just to clarify, it was some bad people wanted £5,000 to let him out of some kind of dwelling. So they wanted £5,000. You're saying you managed to negotiate for the bad people?
Yeah,
£6,500.
Well, you know, I mean, define bad. Maybe I was the bad person, you know. Maybe we've all got a fun side, a bad side. And I did what I thought was best with totally rational negotiation skills and managed to help him. And, you know, he was quite pleased.
Well, it sounds like you didn't help him, because if it was £5,000 and you raised it to £6,000, that sounds sort of unhelpful.
Well, you know... numbers are, well, you know, it was flexible. It was a flexible situation. As I say, I mean, there's certain other events that I won't mention here, but let's just say a good time was had by all. And in a way, it's a shame that my book already came out before this happened. It would have made a nice saucy chapter.
A very saucy chapter.
Well, you know, involved.
Maybe, Liz, if you make a sequel, that could be the sort of slightly naughtier book.
Oh, yeah. You know, I am actually in talks with my publisher at the moment for a sequel. You know, strike while the iron's hot. And I think that would be an excellent idea. And, you know, why stop there? Why not have a trilogy?
Liz, if you are going to have any sequels or indeed a trilogy to the books, are you going to have to wait 10 years until the West is saved or indeed
it's been saved or not? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
Or would you write it now and would it pick up in the future?
Yeah, I'd write it now. So depending on when it came out, it might be 9 years to save the West. And then if it was a year later, 8 years to save the West.
Oh, I see.
You see.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe with some brackets as well. Eight years.
Kind of decology,
to save...
if indeed that's a word. I'm not sure it is, but.
Well, it's a word I like. So.
Well, Liz Truss, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you so much. Good luck with the book.
Thank you, Harriet.
Good to continue plugging away. And I advise all our listeners to go and buy it.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Right, Liz, you need to...
No, okay.
Yeah, just press the button.
Shall I leave the studio or just the...
No, just leave.
Oh. Bye.
Bye. Bye,
hello.
Liz.
Bye.
Bye. No, Liz, you're still here.
I tell you what, I'll just cut.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we could be here for some time.
Hello, thanks.
Now, if you're finding the adverts in this show annoying, remember you can skip them by signing up to our Patreon at patreon.com/noncensored, where you'll get episodes without them and you'll be supporting the show. Now, ordinarily, I'd be happy to ignore Belgium and everything that ever happens there, but this week it held the National Conservatism Conference, and I thought, why aren't we paying more attention to this? We did a whole episode on it last year, didn't we, Martin?
Yes, but as it's not in Britain, we didn't think anyone would care about nationalism this year.
How parochial. Anyway, you may have seen that friend of the show and the world's greatest lawyer, and that must be true because she's got a mug that says it, Suella Braverman was brutally cancelled with malice aforethought while she was there. So obviously we immediately invited her onto our national radio station to talk about it. Let's take a listen. Wow, do you know what, Suella? I didn't even know if I was going to get you on the programme. I thought they might cancel me. I thought they might cancel you, cancel the programme.
It's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind. And I just want everyone to know, I don't want this attention. You know, I don't want it. You know, I would prefer just to be able to just carry on and live my political life and say my perfectly normal political things, that my legal opinions, okay, my completely legal opinions, I'd like to say them out loud, have people listen and agree. But no. Will they let us live, Harriet? Will they let us live?
Well, this is the question. Will they let you live? And now, for those of our listeners who don't know what's going on, this is, you attended the National Conservatism Conference. I'm so sad I couldn't be there in Brussels. And then, the mayor apparently didn't like it and cancelled it.
Harriet, it was a city break. Yeah. A few like-minded individuals hanging out, discussing white flight and such other things, you know, that are clearly happening. And some people apparently had a problem with it. I just don't know why people draw such pathetic lines around free speech, you know. It's not free speech, is it? If I start talking and someone tells me to stop talking. If I start talking and someone says, stop talking, that is not free speech. That is expensive speech, okay? And I just need to do something about this.
That's like a sort of dictator thing to do, isn't it?
It's not sort of a dictator. It's one step short of beheading me. It's one step short. Wow. You might as well just stick my head in the guillotine. Yeah, all right, you might as well.
Yeah.
When the police came and they closed the doors and locked the doors and said no one out and no one in, I said, well, cut my head off then. That's what I said. I said it out loud. But no one will know about it because no one was there to listen to me say it. But I promise you, I dared them to do it. I said, if you want me to shut up, chop off my head. And then wave my head around outside and say, we've got the head of Suella Braverman. And they didn't do it, did they? You know why? They all talk. Which is interesting that they all talk because they're not about free speech, are they? But they talk a lot. I'm disgusted.
Wow, I know. It's just hypocritical. And talking about... So, I mean, it just sounds so totalitarianism. You know, that's what it sounds like. And I just wonder what, you know, people like, you know, Nigel Farage and Viktor Orban made of this behaviour, because it's just not on, is it? Restricting people like that. You can imagine.
It takes a lot to get Farage, Orban, all my mates angry and animated. We're a very laid back crew. We're very laid back. We're very chill and relaxed. It takes a lot. We were unhappy with the way things unfolded. I think that what we did is we collected such an amazing group of superlative individuals. People were jealous they weren't invited. And then they thought, well, if we can't be there, no one can be there. We've all done it. We've all not been invited to a wedding. And we thought, well, you know, if they don't want me at their wedding, then there shall be no wedding. And then we've all sent terrorist threats and things, shut the wedding down. We've all done it, you know. There were obviously fake ones. You know, we'll obviously dial up and we'll say, oh, that, you know, TikTok, you get out of the church. But we don't mean it. We're just upset we're not invited. It's the same thing here. Everyone wants to hang out with Victor. Everyone wants to hang out with Nigel. And Lord knows, everyone wants to hang out with me, you know? What happens.
And Suella, I mean, you've had to be a bit quiet, really, the last couple of months, really, since you left the Home Office. And I just wonder if you saw this as your time to shine again.
I've been shining this whole time. You know, I've been shining whole time, and I'm surprised you say that, Harriet, because I've been talking about hate matches
and haven't heard you.
And you know what? Then this is definitely a sign of cancellation, isn't it?
This is
a sign of the woke police turning down the volume on a good old Suella. The woke police have stopped me saying, it's almost like they're fed up of me saying stop the boats when I don't even say stop the boats that much. I haven't said stop the boats recently. When was the last time you heard me say stop the boats, Harriet? When?
Not for a long time.
It's been such a long time.
And now you mention it, when I did last hear you say it, it was at quite a low volume.
Well, and that's and because... I,
That's turned you down.
Woke people, I've realised they hear things on lower frequencies. They're like reverse dogs. Okay.
Right.
So I've realised maybe the message isn't getting through because I've been talking to them like they're normal humans. But the woke police, the wokerati, you know, I don't know what it is. I think it's all the genetically modified soya. It's affected their eardrums. Okay. So you have to say, stop the boats. Stop the boats. You have to whisper it to them. Like, and then they can feel like they're dreaming it. You know, and I think that is why they wanted to shut down our little gathering. And it was just a gathering of like-minded individuals. Okay, they wanted to shut us down because our message was getting through because you were saying it lower and more quietly. How does this sound? Stop the boats. Stop them.
Stop the boats, Harriet. Oh, that's quite, yes.
It's compelling,
yes,
isn't it? It's more compelling. That's
what
I got wrong.
I can feel it penetrating my brain.
Yes.
And I realise now, because in a recent interview you talked about the thought police, and of course, this is what's happening, isn't it? Because as the thought police, because you are using your thoughts to get through to the wokies.
I'm not just using thoughts. I'm using ideas, philosophies. Come on, Harriet. You know what we want, okay? We want what's right. Right.
Yeah.
We want what's right. White. Do you see? Do you see what I'm saying? That's what we want. We just want what's right in Europe. And we wanted that.
Right. Can you say that again? Because I'm confused.
We want what's right. We want what's right. What could possibly be confusing about that message? And this is a legally held opinion. And these are legally held
words. Oh, is it? Okay, great.
Just so you know. And you can't get arrested for saying we want what's right. Did you know that? They can't arrest you. It doesn't hold up in court. They tried. That's why they couldn't put us in court. All they could do was just, that's what they did. They came up to our building and just locked the doors. They couldn't arrest us. They couldn't press charges. They couldn't shut
down. Well, I was going to say, Suella, what do you make about the fact you've been uncancelled and that now you're back?
The fact I've been uncancelled proves that there was cancellation, but it also proves that the way to beat cancellation is to say you've been cancelled and then they can stop you from being cancelled. But all they're going to do is cancel me again. And you know what? When they do cancel me again, I'm going to book another conference hall and bring all my other friends and we'll do some more talking and they can try and cancel us again if they want. Okay, I'm sick of being cancelled. I'm sick of people not understanding what my opinions are. I'm sick of my views not being heard. Okay, how many people know I want to stop the boats? Most people don't know I want to stop the boats because they never let me say it. When was the last time? Exactly.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I mean, I think when you came round for dinner, you were saying it quite a lot, but then it was sort of coming out in I don't know, a bit sort of slurred, so it was hard to tell.
Was it slurred? Oh, well, I can't imagine that it was slurred. I think maybe the world
might
was spinning
the
slowly.
Police.
The thought police, they do that, you know, they change the gravitational pull of the world and make it rotate more slowly when you're saying something they don't want you to say, so people can't understand what you're saying. Now, you might be thinking, Suella, that sounds ridiculous. Well, they've got to you too, haven't they? They've got to too. And that's when you think about it, that's all they do. They say what you're saying is ridiculous and then you say, no, it's not. And they can't prove that you're not white about everything. They can't prove it.
Say that again.
Prove that you're not right about wanting things to be right.
Right. Sorry. I think I just keep hearing you there. Suella, there's no thought police here. There's no wokies. So I want you to feel completely safe before we draw this interview to a close. And I want you to be able to say what you want to say and what you have been saying at the National Conservatism Conference.
Well, thank you for this platform, Harriet. I've been denied a platform in my career for so long. I've been denied this platform. So I want to say to you, finally, I get to share my views. Okay, I want to do it in front of 300 other people who are right, but I'm going to have to do it in front of you. You are one person who is right, but I'll share that view.
I've got like the strength of 300 people in how I am.
You do, honestly, you do. Mm-hmm. I can feel the righteousness, you know, emanating from your pores. So I will share with you today what I wasn't able to share with the general public because they shut down our event, but I could share it in front of my like-minded friends. And this is what I said to them.
Yeah.
Strap in. I said,
I'm ready.
I said, we must stop the boats.
Oh my goodness.
Stop the boats. We must stop the boats. We must stop them on the seas. we must stop them on the ocean, and we must stop the boats. And that's what I said. I said it in French too, but I've forgotten the word for stop in French. But that's how proud an English person I am. I forget quite basic words in French.
That's really powerful.
But I said it and they all cheered. That's the point, they cheered. They didn't, and I don't speak Hungarian, but Viktor Orbán got the gist when all these, when everyone started to raise an arm into the air. He got the gist of what I was saying. So he cheered too. Stop the boats. Just stop them. Can we just stop the boats? Have they stopped? I've not been keeping up with Parliament. Have they stopped the boats yet? Because I haven't been in the Home Office in a while.
They haven't.
My pass doesn't work anymore.
Suella, they're not stopping the boats. Since you've gone, the boats are not
I did a handover.
Suella, we need you back in Parliament.
Oh, no. I'm not going back to Parliament. Parliament's boring. I can say that I've been there. And I put on a brave face whilst I was there and I acted like I enjoyed it. But honestly, Parliament's rubbish. It's much better outside Parliament. We're having a great time. You know, I'll tell you something. You'll never know how great a time we had because the Thought Police shut down our event. So you couldn't even see us. There was a ball pit, Harriet. A ball pit. I know.
No, I love ball pits.
We wanted to show our fun side. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to show our fun side. We're not always talking about being right. We're talking sometimes talk about being fun. And, you know, so I wouldn't go back to Parliament. There's no ball pit in Parliament at all, you know.
Well, listen, on that fun note, goodbye. Goodbye, Suella. Thank you so much. And stop the boats.
Au revoir. And stop the boats. Au revoir, Harriet.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
It means stop the boats.
Finally, we turn to the terrible events on Twitter.
You're going to have to be more specific.
You're right, Martin. We wouldn't want anyone to jump to any conclusions. So let's just say Ishan Akbar joined us for a hot and spicy takeaway of the week about Islamophobia. And you can work out the rest yourselves. Let's take a listen. Ishan Akbar, hello.
Hello, Harriet. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Very well indeed. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I have recently returned from a trip abroad to Vietnam and Bali.
Ooh.
I soaked up the sun and had some lovely food, and it's a delight to be back doing this.
It's wonderful to have you back, Ishan. Did you go with anyone? Were you there with friends, or was it alone? Was it solo travel, just you?
There was one friend. She and I had a lovely time.
That's a work colleague, or
we? Just a friend, and we all got back last night. So I hope Jane got back home okay. Anyway.
I know what you're doing there, but she was on a writing retreat, so that's not the same, actually. But nice one, good jokes.
Personally, I wouldn't believe that.
Laugh at that. That's not even good. No, you can't.
Did you see what he did there?
No.
It is good to start a section off with a strong joke. And that, I think we can all agree, was a very strong joke.
Thank you.
Well, I think this is going to be quite a serious hot and spicy takeaway. But hopefully, Ishan, there'll be still some room for some Ishan special jokes.
As always.
So, Ishan Akbar, what is your hot and spicy takeaway of the week?
Well, in the time that I've been away, a lot of things have been happening in the world. And when bad things happen in the world, celebrities often feel the need to wade into those conversations. And the country's third best mathematician, Rachel Riley.
Who's second and first?
Second is, of course, Carol Vorderman, and first is Diane Abbott.
Right.
She waded into an issue regarding the Sydney attacks that took place, the horrible attacks Sydney, undertaken, perpetrated by a man called Joel Couchy, which was discovered after the fact.
Couchy?
Yeah, Couchy.
Where's Couchy from?
Well, I don't know. It sounds pretty non-brown, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. It sounds a bit sort of like
Fauci? You're getting confused with Fauci?
I thought maybe one of those Italian gangsters. Anyway, carry on.
In any case, at the time of the attack, when people were unaware as to his identity or his motivation, Julia Hartley Brewer, someone you know very well indeed.
Very good friend.
A very good friend. And Rachel Riley, they seemed to put out tweets which insinuated that this was the actions of someone driven by terroristic aims, Islamism.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, say that again.
I said, oh, wow, terrorism.
More terrorism undertaken by, you know, the Muslim folk. And it soon became clear that it wasn't done by that. In fact, Joel Cauchy was discovered to be a bit of an incel. Do you know what an incel is, Harriet?
Oh, hates women or likes working out in the gym.
Sounds a lot like you. Yeah.
I don't think the working out in the gym is necessarily a part of it, but definitely the woman hating.
Yes.
It seems to be a common theme, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Sexy woman haters.
No, I don't think we should call them that.
Glistening in the sun with sweat on their muscles.
I think they're quite likely to be called sexy. It might stop them being incels.
Oh, yeah, no, you have got a point there. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I'm sorry, Ishan. So your hot and spicy take.
Oh yes, what's your hot and spicy takeaway?
So Rachel Riley puts out this statement saying this is the Intifada happening again, and it wasn't. And eventually she had to issue an apology saying, look, I didn't mean to offend anybody. When I said Intifada, I didn't mean Intifada. What I meant was Intifada. Channel 4 then released a statement saying the following. While she isn't a member of staff, we've reminded Rachel Riley of her obligations as a contributor to Channel 4 programming. Now, this rather confused me because Countdown is a Channel 4 programme.
And what's her obligations?
Mainly numbers.
Counting.
There's some letters involved too.
Counting, bantering with people on panels.
And wearing nice dresses.
And to be honest, you can't falter on any of those things.
Well,
she's fulfilled her obligation. So maybe she can just add a bit of racism on top.
A bit of racism. But here's the thing. Here's the hot and spicy take, which is, you know, people are criticising Julia Hartley Brewer and Rachel Riley for saying what seems to be quite obviously racist things. And more recently, the partner of Chris Froome, the British Olympic cyclist, has also waded in on Twitter saying Muslims are a drain on society and similar other sentiments. Now, people are upset by this. Personally, I think it's the right thing. I think it's better to have Islamophobia and racism that's front-footed, obvious, clear. There's been too much of this dog whistle racism for too long. We spent too much time trying to work out microaggression. Did they mean this? Read between the lines. I would rather be punched in the face than stabbed in the back.
That's so good. And can I just say that was very eloquently put, Ishan. Very, very well said.
I can't help but feel that, I mean, I see what you're saying, Ishan, but rather than going for a punch in the face is, yes, definitely better than being stabbed in the back. Should we not be trying to just stop people from making those comments in any way, whether it be overt or covert?
Well, no, because if they stop making those comments, what would we talk about?
Yeah, and
Chatting about producer Martin's.
You saying that is the kind of dog whistle racism I'm talking about. You saying,
well, no,
not stop these people from making those comments stops me, a comedian, from having a career.
I love Muslims. I love Muslims.
You like a curry, don't you, producer Martin?
I love a curry.
Name three of your favorite Muslims.
Top three.
Yeah.
Ah, well, it's hard, isn't it?
Like, just say Muhammad three times.
No, you can't. I don't think that's how. Like, the whispering there didn't work.
Yeah.
Look, I think the point is.
Name three.
I mean, it's tough, isn't there? There's just so many to choose from, and they're all so good. I wouldn't want to pin anyone down as a favorite because anyone that doesn't make the top three, it's like Desert Island Discs. I find it impossible.
Let's not name your top three. Just name three Muslims.
Well, you'd be up there for one.
Well, I don't really practice Islam.
No, but you know, you're part of it.
No, come on, that's because it's Ishan. You've practiced enough, and you've got it now.
Okay,
and yeah. So
I've completed it. Okay, two
yes,
more.
Go on. You completed it.
Well, it's Steve, who runs the show. The local shop.
Steve,
the Muslim.
Yes, Steve.
Okay, moving on from producer Martin failing to name any Muslims. The thing is, I think
Muhammad Ali.
He's dead.
Okay.
No, but he's a good one, wasn't he? Not that the other ones are bad. No, it's not.
And you know what? He'd approve of punching people in the face.
He would, 100%.
Yeah.
The only one that approves of punching in the face is Muhammad Ali.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what we're talking about here. I respect someone who is metaphorically going to punch someone in the face. Because, yes. As you know, Ishan, you know where they are with it. And also, it's honest. It's nice and honest. We know what they mean. We know what they're saying. And is racism bad if people have been open about it? Well, I mean, that's the question.
Is it racist if it's both a truth and your truth? Mm.
Yes.
Those are the
yes.
Wow.
Is it racist if it's a truth and your truth?
And you're being honest about your truth.
Yes. The truth will set
Interesting.
Us free. The truth will set us free. So, you know, for Rachel and for Julia and for Mrs. Froome, just know from me as someone called Ishan Akbar, who was raised in a Muslim family, eating halal meat and not drinking alcohol, to someone who now enjoys his life, I approve your message.
Wow, that's so lovely. Well, I hope they're all listening to this because I think they'd really take heart from that. They all seem like people who like to sort of reflect and think about what they've said, and I think that would help them on their way.
Yes, I agree.
Ishan, I respect your opinion in this matter. I mean, other matters too. I mean, I'm sure if you had a book or a podcast recommendation, I'd also, you know, take that. Although I've got a lot to get through. So I just know, I mean, there were bad examples. I've got a lot to get through and I just haven't got to it because, you know,
very long.
This, yeah, you know, we've got other things to do. Just chores, they mount up, don't they? And you think that would be a chance to get through the podcast, but no, it's always just a new episode. I think if I were to say anything to Rachel Riley, it would be this.
Well, I think that is a great...
Because her time is up. Nil pois.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a great moment to end, but now it's slightly drawn
out. Here's a conundrum for you, Rachel.
Okay, we've gone past the point of it.
How about stop being bad to people?
Yeah. All right. Okay. thank you. Well, you're the producer. Hopefully you'll cut the end of that.
Let me give you a nine-letter conundrum that Rachel Riley is afraid of.
Yes.
Islamisms.
Oh, that's very good. I don't really understand it, but it's very, very good. Oh, dear. Well, that is a strong note to end on. Ishan Akbar, thank you for your hot and spicy takeaway of the week.
My pleasure. Assalamu alaikum.
And with your spirit.
And many more.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'll be back next week. So in the meantime, like, subscribe, tell your friends, follow the Out of Context Non-Censored Blue Sky account and keep those questions coming to noncensoredpodcast@gmail.com and join us on patreon.com/noncensored to get ad-free episodes, longer videos, bonus podcasts and much, much more. With thanks to Rosie Holt, Brendan Murphy, Ishan Akbar, Susan Harrison, Athena Kublenu, and Ed Morrish. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and we'll be back next week with more Non-Censored.